Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kong.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we're less than a week from Christmas, and all we want for Christmas is you.
Is ho-ho-hos.
But instead, we'll take a couple good movies, right?
I'm talking about the hostess cakes, ho-hos.
Oh, okay. You want ho-ho-hos?
Do you think I meant something else?
Well, can I just say that I hate the idea of Christmas cookies?
Really?
Before we get started?
Well, wait. Can you define Christmas cookies? I mean, are you talking about just cookies made at Christmas?
Cookies made at Christmas.
Or like cookies that have Christmas decorations on them?
No, just cookies made at Christmas in general. My mom would always, she always goes through and makes big batches of Christmas cookies. And this year, I've changed my life over to the low-carb lifestyle. And that is not helping.
There's no such thing as a low-carb cookie. You may be able to find something that's branded that by Atkins. There's no such thing, though, as a low-carb cookie.
It's gross, yeah.
Because you know what cookie is mostly? Cookie's like half sugar.
Yeah. Not good. So. Not feeling it. So, anyways, that is the thought of the day, or the week.
Okay.
And before we get to some movies, let's talk about where you can get a hold of us. We're over
at
FatGuysOfTheMovies.com. We're also on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys of the Movies. We come right up. You can listen to us, subscribe to us, review us. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Give us a good review, even if you make movies that we don't like.
Right. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail. Area code 614-388-8735. We did get a voicemail from our good friend Dawn out in California this week.
Are we going to talk about that here? Are we going to play the voicemail, or are we going to do that later? And then
we can
say we're going to do
it
later.
We can say that we're going to do that later. What I will say, though, is that... I succeeded in offending Dawn twice.
Twice, apparently.
And it was me this time, not Kevin.
I never offended her.
No. You are usually the one who offends people in general.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'm not going to argue that point.
Nice. So, in an attempt to offend some people, let's talk about some movies, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to start off with The Tale of Despero. A tiny little mouse with big ears becomes a hero to a kingdom by overturning a law outlawing soup. Yep, no kidding.
In a village under a castle, a little mouse named Despero was born.
Wow, he's so puny. And look at those ears.
Now, when it comes to being a mouse...
Ready, class?
There's a right way... and a wrong way.
You didn't cower.
Looks like a sword.
It's a carving knife.
It's beautiful.
Soup?
So, yeah, soup, soup. So okay. you didn't see this, did you, Neil?
No, but now that I know it's about soup, I'm going to go out and see it this weekend.
Yeah, because you think it would be super?
Oh.
Anyways.
Wow.
You know what? This one, I kind of was looking forward to it. I thought it looked really kind of new and classy. The animation, at least the stills, look kind of interesting.
Yeah, it has a very classic, I don't know what a good word for it, look is.
Pre-Shrek fairy tale look kind of thing.
Yeah. Like those old children's books written by the old people with the old things.
By the old people, okay. Last weekend I saw Delgo, and we'll talk a little more about that later, but one thing I declared when I wrote my review of Delgo is the more recognizable names you see in the credits for voices, the worse the movie's going to be.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
Case in point, WALL-E had like John Ratzenberger as a small part, Ben Burtt, who no one even knows who that is, and Sigourney Weaver.
Well,
and
Ben Burtt,
well,
people
he's
know now. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's now the greatest movie of the year, in my opinion.
Right.
So
well, it's good.
Yeah, but then you have movies like Delgo, which is like a half dozen or more people, and you're just like name after name after name. And so I start watching Despero, and it's just right name after name. And then they have like literally a dozen recognizable names to people who watch films. And I'm like, oh, this may not be good for the movie. And then literally the first 15 minutes have nothing to do with Despero the mouse. It's about this rat who goes to this town and they celebrate soup. And he scares the queen to death, and she drowns in her soup, and then they outlaw soup, and they outlaw rats. And I'm like watching this movie going, isn't there supposed to be a mouse somewhere in this film? And every character in the story gets its own backstory, and there's this one girl in the story whose name's Miggery Sow. That's M-I-G-G-E-R-Y. But it didn't sound like that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Is that her real name? And then I went and watched the credits. This is based on a book. Mm-hmm. And I think the book was probably better.
Yeah.
And it makes sense when you have a book that's like a children's book and it is going to give everybody a backstory, but they give these needless backstories and it goes on and it's about, you know, when they outlaw soup, it doesn't rain and it gets all cloudy and it gets all drab in the place. So all like the amazing CGI you could see is all gone. Mm-hmm. So it's
okay.
Kids might like it, but
cool,
but it sucks.
It sucks. All right. Fair enough. Moving on. Yes, Man. In which Jim Carrey plays a man who begins to say yes to everything. It's a true story of how he made movies like The Number 23.
No, no. No.
No.
You're always making excuses.
No means no.
You say no to life, and therefore you're not living. Every time an opportunity presents itself, you will say yes.
Yes! I do want to take guitar lessons.
Would you be the man for me?
I guess so.
Yes, I would like to learn Korean.
Can I borrow a couple bucks?
Are we gonna fight or what?
Would you like to throw loose your bridal shower?
Yeah, sure. Why not? That'd be great. Yeah, I'd love that.
Now, that last part was a lie. I need to come out and admit that. It's this. I mean, let's just say Christmas is coming up and I don't want the baby Jesus to be mad at me.
Wow.
For lying in the air. So it's actually about Jim Carrey plays a man who works for the guy from Flight of the Conchords, which is very funny. If you watch Flight of the Conchords.
Nope.
If you don't, then you have no idea what I'm talking about. But he's an unhappy guy who says no to everything. He's not living his full life, blah, blah, blah. He goes to Terrence Stamp. Terrence Stamp, who plays a motivational speaker named Terrence, smacks him on.
And a Nazi in Valkyrie.
Smacks him on the head with a microphone, and all of a sudden he has to say yes to everything, and it turns into this nice, kind of fluffy romantic comedy where he meets a girl played by Zooey Deschanel. And ultimately, it turns into all these various funny moments. Funny moments that are quintessential Jim Carrey moments. Stuff like from Liar Liar. You know,
I was going to say, is it like Liar Liar, where it's just a bunch of gags?
It is like Liar Liar, but it's a bunch of funny stuff. So it ultimately is a very funny movie. And if you like Jim Carrey, which I generally do, he's made some crap, but I think that overall, Jim Carrey's a funny guy. Just existing. He's funny. Okay. So, you know, it's good for that crowd, the crowd that likes Jim Carrey movies. If you're going to go in there and try and pick it apart and be like, well, this is implausible and this is stupid and this is bad CG and this is blah, 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 blah.
You mean like 7 pounds?
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to pick it apart, it's not a great movie, but it is entertaining. It's fun. It moves quickly. It's in and out of your system. You know, it's akin to a very good burrito. It tastes good at the time, gets out of your system really quick. But it's not as painful on the way out, I guess.
So it's a burrito without the hot sauce.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sure.
Oh, okay.
But you know, it's not a steak.
No.
So
a steak can linger.
That, and I've decided that I could literally stare at Zooey Deschanel for hours and hours and hours. And Zooey Deschanel, Anna Faris, and Emma Stone, probably the three best comedic women in existence. Right along with like Amy Poehler. So I'm going to say Kinda Rocks just because I thought it was funny.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I'm going to see it because I had to go see Benjamin Button instead.
Sweet. Which we talk about next week. And we're back on Fat Guys the Movies. Now that we've talked about a little Jim Carrey and some mice, I guess.
Or soup.
Or soup. I like soup. It's time to move on. So, Kevin, what's our next movie?
Our next movie is 7 Pounds. This is Will Smith playing a man trying to atone for his sins, and he sits around and thinks a lot.
In 7 days, God created the world. And in 7 seconds, I shattered mine.
Why me?
It is within my power to drastically change his circumstances, but I don't want to give that man a gift that he doesn't deserve.
Now, I'm going to say this about this movie. First of all, before I just launch into my tirade of hatred for this film, just to give a little brief, Sam, I do give a little bit of props to Will Smith because he is doing a movie that's a little bit more of a risk. I mean, it's still sort of like that very mainstream go for the feel good kind of thing. It's directed by the guy who did The Pursuit of Happiness. So
yeah,
it's not like totally doing, he's not like doing some rugged little indie film, but he's not doing the, it's 100% sure going to be a huge hit Will Smith movie.
Yeah, which is, you know,
I give him credit. That's good. That. I give him credit for that.
Yeah. So go ahead with your tirade.
But I don't give him credit for this movie because when it says 7 pounds, I'm thinking 7 pounds of horse manure. This is what this movie is. Now, this is the thing.
Your hyperbole has stunned me.
Ah, yes. My witty words, witticisms. Anyways, this movie is so slow. It starts off at a snail's pace. It suddenly gets like really crazy at the credits, and then it just slows down and it plows through a bank of molasses in the middle. And
yeah,
and the problem is it's you really don't know what's going on when you first see, when you first start the movie. It's kind of disjointed and you don't know what's happening. By about halfway through, you figure out what he's doing, what you figure out what's going on, and you figure out the backstory and you figure out what's happened. And then they have this big reveal at the end where they reveal everything that you already know.
Right.
But they reveal it like it's a reveal. And you're just like, this is like when they revealed that Edward was a vampire in Twilight. You're like, this is not a surprise. We know he's a vampire. Right. It's the vampire movie. So this thing, and then when it finally gets to the end, I'm all for suspension of disbelief, but what happens at the end is so utterly unrealistic and doesn't just sort of cheat facts. It just ignores facts. Yeah. It just makes it up. It is, and then it's just like so sappy and so pulling at, literally like yanking at strings, trying to say, oh, we're going to do this now. And oh, you need to cry at this moment. I was so bored and frustrated and filled with hate when I saw this movie because it was terrible.
And you're a racist.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
I'm just kidding. Okay. Well, before I go into my tirade where I agree with you, I would like to say this. Rosario Dawson. Rosario Dawson, A, is absolutely gorgeous and is someone that you could literally sit and watch her smile for hours and hours and hours and just sit there and drool,
I was going to say, you've got a lot of stalking complaints against you between Zoe Deschanel and Rosario Dawson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait till we get to the deity picks of the week.
Yeah.
But also, Rosario Dawson, I think this is one of the better leading lady performances I've seen all year. She was great in this movie. Her character had a serious amount of depth, and you know, she has to look very haggard. She plays this woman who is going through this battle with this horrific heart disease, and you know, she's got a very, very tough time of it, and she really, really gives the character depth without kind of playing it up. I felt like it didn't feel like she was going for the sympathy of the audience too hard. And so I thought Rosario Dawson's performance, fantastic. The rest of the movie, you're right, it was unfortunately long.
Mm.
It was water torture-esque.
Well, and it was only like 2 hours. So it felt like it was like I saw Benjamin Button, which is almost 3 hours, and I wasn't a huge fan of that, but that film seemed shorter than 7 pounds.
Yeah, 7 pounds, it really drags it, and it also, you know, it pulls a lot of its punches very, very early, and then makes you wait 2 hours to see what you already know is going to happen. And I think that, you know, it's a very cool and unique idea, I guess, the ending, which we really can't give away. It's a very unique story.
Well, it's ludicrous. The ending's ludicrous. The whole thing, and I'll just say, what happens in the bathtub and how it happens, That is the most roundabout thing to do. That was like Eagle Eye, where they're like, you know, all you have to do is just send a missile and we'll blow up this thing. And instead they do this big roundabout thing to get this woman to carry a miniature bomb.
Yeah, and it's very done for the poetry of it, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, poetry meaning like a dirty limerick scribbled on a bathroom wall.
So I'm gonna give it a sucks, a full-on sucks, unfortunately.
Full-on suck. And
I hate to agree with you like that.
I know. Doesn't it kill you? And I'll even say I won't disagree with you about Rosario Dawson. Although, I mean, I don't want to call it the performance of the year, but...
it was one of the better performances of the year.
I will say she did a good job. She's not what bothered me in the movie. I thought she was okay. So everything else swirling around didn't.
Yeah. It's just like Valkyrie wasn't Tom Cruise's fault. But we'll talk about that next week.
Well, actually, it kind of was. But let's we'll talk about that next week. He does run he does run the studio, so he blame falls on
fair
him.
Fair enough. But next up, we're going to talk about a movie that doesn't seem to have to be anybody's fault. It's The Wrestler, and in which Mickey Rourke plays a has-been professional wrestler trying to make a comeback.
Have a beer with me? One beer.
You have a daughter?
Oh, my daughter. She don't like me very much.
You should call her.
And you seen me.
What do you want from me?
I'm an old broken down piece of meat, and I deserve to be all alone. I just don't want you to hate me.
Two words. Rematch.
Bring it. You know, with a little luck, this could be my ticket back on top.
You know, this is the second movie about somebody with a heart condition in this segment.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Because Mickey Rourke's character, well, I mean, he's beaten up overall.
Oh, yeah.
He's just kind of a beaten down dude.
Well, I mean, the characters, and, he was big in the 80s. So already you got to tack on whatever, if you're in the best shape of your life, you tack on 20 years of hard living after that.
Right.
I will tell you my favorite part of The Wrestler. Do you even know, you can probably, I bet you can guess what my favorite part of The Wrestler was.
The bloody scene where they're beating the hell out of each other.
How about Marissa Tomei as the tatted up skanky stripper naked?
She was naked.
Awesome.
I will say this, Marissa Tomei naked a lot during The Wrestler.
I cannot wait to see next year to see what award movie she's going to be naked in.
Yeah, because she's been doing the nudity the last couple of years.
That's awesome.
But I will say, aside from the our remarks about Marissa Tomei, there is a lot to like about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And first of all, Mickey Rourke, the hype is pretty real with his performance. He gives a damn fine performance, and it is a resurgence type of thing for Mickey Rourke. And
well, and also considering that he was never the greatest actor to begin with.
Right.
You know, you look at his stuff from the 80s, his acting from the 80s, he was okay. I mean, I saw Angel Heart, he was good, but I mean, you would never put him on the, you know, he wasn't nominated for any awards before this.
Right, and I think, you know, if he's nominated, wins a lot of awards for this, it's very deserving because it really, he does carry the movie. And I also thought that Darren Aronofsky, who's made, you know, I've been kind of back and forth on Darren Aronofsky for a while because I didn't like The Fountain.
Oh, God, I hated that movie.
but he has a very unique skill with camera as character in making the camera kind of bring you into the environment. Like, I love the scenes where he's walking, you know, he'll be walking around like in his everyday life and you'll hear the crowd a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be following him and you'll hear the crowd, and it really kind of puts you into the mind frame of the character because it all does center on this broken down old wrestler who's just trying to put his career back together while fighting off health problems. He's trying to put his life back together by reaching out to his daughter, and you know, it's all these different redemptive, story elements. And I think, I really feel like the ending was kind of atypical of what you would expect from, you know, one of those comeback sports movies.
Well, what I thought was neat about the ending, and I'm not going to give anything away, but it was, it was simultaneously ambiguous and completely decisive.
Yeah. Yeah. And moving, no matter what you think happens at the end, it's very moving.
Yeah. I thought it was definitely a very interesting character study. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, I mean, aside from Marissa Tomei being naked and tatted up, that was awesome.
Obviously.
She'd be the first one I'd go to in a club myself, but not that I've been to those places, so I've heard. But no, it was. I thought it was a very good job. Mickey Rourke did a great job. It totally fit his character, and I thought it does a great job of putting being a celebrity in perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Cool. So I give it a rocks.
I give it a totally rocks. Nice. When we come back, we're going to talk about box office,
yes.
I think. Oh, and Kevin's contribution to Delgo.
And a voicemail from Dawn.
42 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
So, Neil, I hear that you are out there offending people on our radio show. And one of those people you've offended twice, no less, is one of our biggest fans, Dawn from Sacramento. Is she from Sacramento or she's just from California?
California in general.
California.
I guess. All right.
Maybe somewhere near Sacramento. Who knows?
Yeah. It's no big deal.
She does, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. So she sent us she gave us a voicemail this week, huh?
She did. She did. And it made me sad, but made me happy that someone's actually still listening. So.
Well, cool. We're going to play a little bit of the voicemail here for you. So, Dawn, you're now famous on the radio.
Hi, guys. It's Dawn from California. Of course I'm still listening. I love your podcast. How can I not listen? But, Neil, you offended me. Okay, I'm teasing you, but you kind of did twice. The first time you offended me, Neil, you said the Twilight girls and middle-aged moms. Ooh, that would be me because I've read all the Twilight books. I enjoy the movie, kind of, but the books. But let's not call me middle-aged. Ugh. The second thing, Neil, that you offended me is you guys were talking about Thanksgiving, and Kevin asked you something about if you wanted a turkey, what would you do? And you said you would tell your mom to make it. My boys are listening. Remember my teenage boys? So I think what you meant to say was you would ask your mom to make it. Have a great night. Keep up the great show. Bye.
So she said that she was offended because you implied that you just order your mom to make turkey.
Which I believe I did imply that. That's true. Yeah. I believe the record states that I did.
Well, let me say for the record, I've met your mom, and I wouldn't order her or just tell her to do anything because she's a very nice lady, and I have very much respect for her.
I think the comment was really more about me wanting to look like a tough guy. And in reality,
which
kids,
is a struggle. That's a struggle for you every day.
Right. In reality, kids, you should never tell your mother to do anything because if she's anything like my mom, you'll wind up dead.
Yeah. So. Well, or you might just, she'll like put like eye drops in your orange juice and you'll be pooping out your guts all night.
You know, I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah, there you go.
But every time I insult Gerard Butler, I end up having diarrhea. I don't know.
Yeah. Amazing. Just it's the power of the mind. But here's the thing. I cooked my own turkey for Thanksgiving, and it came out fantastic.
Oh, really?
So, there.
Nice. You know. Well, my mom made a hell of a turkey for Thanksgiving, so.
Oh, good for her.
You know, I didn't tell her to do it. She did it on her own.
So. Just because she makes cookies for you now. Christmas cookies.
Which
Christmas cookies. I've been making Christmas cookies, and that's not good. Eating way too many cookies.
Yeah, I would prefer if the cookie thing was a tradition that just died. Honestly.
Okay.
I mean, she makes great cookies, but it's not helping my no-carb lifestyle.
What kind of cookies did she make for you? I'm now curious.
Dude, she makes all kinds. We're from a Polish family, so she makes, like, galoshkis and whatever.
What the heck is a galoshki?
I don't know if that's what they're called. They're those ones.
A kolche? K-O-L-C-H-E? Kolche?
No.
Is that
maybe,
what it's called?
Maybe that, and then there's
It's like
other
a little
ones.
Empanada? Isn't that what it's like?
Dude, I'm not a cookie connoisseur, so you're going to have to bear with me here.
Okay.
It's, you know, they wrap it, and it's got nuts in it, and it's got dough and stuff.
Well, does she have any of them lying around the house? Because I'm going to see you this week, because aren't you going to come
to
town for a screening? You bring me some of your mom's cookies.
I will. I'm sure she'd be happy to send some to you for you and the family.
I would give her cookies, but I actually ate all the cookies I just made. I made a whole batch of oatmeal raisin. I made a batch of peanut butter cookies with the Hershey Kiss on top.
Yeah, she makes all these crazy good, like, special Christmas time cookies. So you can have mine, because I can't eat them.
I am expecting cookies when I see you next.
Okay, fair enough.
Since you forgot to bring the house DVDs last time.
Anyways, let's talk about the, what are we doing now?
Well, what was the other thing that you offended Dawn? Because you called her middle-aged.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm sorry.
You know, shame on you.
Dawn, I could have said old.
No, Dawn is probably a beautiful woman. I know she's a wonderful lady.
I'm sure. But anyone older than me, which is not that old.
Which is like old. Everybody on the planet who isn't in diapers.
Right. Well, I just turned 25, so...
Okay, so you're only 10 years older than Miley Cyrus.
I would like to. I call myself quarter-aged because I'm about a quarter of what I would be. But hey, 40 close enough to 50, right? So that's, you know.
Oh, you're middle-aged. Not making any friends with Dawn here. Wow.
Anyways, you know. So, yeah. Well, I mean, we could. There's all kinds of different nice ways to say that. I just don't know any of them.
I'm just being quiet and letting you dig your own grave here. Dawn, you may. Why don't you send us some Christmas cookies, Dawn, and make sure you have the ones for Neil labeled specifically so when he eats them, he gets diarrhea.
Yeah. Well, she wouldn't be the first woman to try and kill me with food. But
there you go.
Anyways, okay. let's move on. Indie spotlight time. Talk about Nazis and sex, I think, is the topic of the day.
Yeah, yeah, and pretty much. And a lot of Kate Winslet naked.
Which is good.
I support that. I mean, there's few actors I don't want to see naked, actresses. You know, people like
Roseanne.
Either one. Rosie O'Donnell, Roseanne Barr. Yeah. Either one. I don't want to see either of them naked. Rose McGowan naked, I'd go for.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is, we don't have a trailer for this one because I was too lazy to cut one. But this one is, it's kind of hit the radar fast because it got nominated for some Golden Globes. And it is The Reader. Kate Winslet stars as a woman who, you know, Neil might call middle-aged. Although
she's
really
a cougar.
And she goes after, and she has a sexual relationship with this young boy, not a young boy, but he's like 18.
This
he's
5 year
like,
old.
I think he's the character 16 or 17 in the movie, but the, you know, and she has an affair with this kid in like the late 50s in Germany, and then later on in his life he runs into her again, at a Nazi trial, and she's not in the well receiving end of the trial.
Oh, so she's a Nazi.
No, not really. She was an SS. She was involved with the SS. But I don't want to give too much more away. But it's then him sort of reconciling his relationship with her and his feelings with her, and then what happens later on.
Right.
And
then he has sex with the old lady. Right.
No, he doesn't have sex with the old lady. But you're hearing a lot of people. Like there was some magazine article that's like, oh, Kate Winslet, isn't she brave for showing her naked body? Because she's in her 30s, I think. She's not a spring chicken. I mean, she's not like 22 or anything like that. But here's my question.
Sure.
Now, I love the movie. I thought it was a fantastic film. But what movie has Kate Winslet been in that she hasn't been naked?
Revolutionary Road. She didn't get naked.
I didn't watch that one yet, but I mean, like everything else, it's like she's naked in everything. What movie do you not see this woman's breasts? I mean, and I have no problem with that, but literally she's naked so much in the first like third of the movie that I'm like, oh my god, there's her boobs again. What am I
right?
And there's like, so she's naked. And then there's a scene where she's swimming and she looks like she's got a bikini on, but it turns out it's just like a bra and panties. And she sets up and then her nipples are like flying out of her. I mean, through, you can see them. And I'm just like, I literally threw up my hands in the movie going, okay, this is just getting silly at this point. But still, you know, it's a fantastic film because it says things that aren't always politically correct, and it really kind of takes the human aspect and puts it into a historical context. That's about all I can say. But I mean, it's a really interesting movie. At first, I thought, I'm like, oh, this is just going to be like an older woman having an affair with a young like a kid, and then it turns into much more. That's just like the first third, and the rest of it becomes very interesting, and it deals with morality and the Holocaust and humanity. It's a really well constructed film.
I see.
And she's naked a lot.
Right. Obviously.
But she's not tatted up and like stripper-esque like Marissa Tomei is.
Okay.
In The Wrestler.
Fair enough.
So I say it rocks.
I was, you know, I was interested in seeing this, but I slept in that day. So yeah. There you go.
No greater explanation, but
nope.
Just that.
I just slept in. That's kind of how it happened.
Yeah, but that was good. Let's move on to the box office.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. And I think the general pun that everyone was using, that it was the weekend the box office stood still.
Oh, ha 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 ha. Wah, wah. I used the pun, whoa.
Whoa.
Awesome.
Well, people were like predicting close to 50 million for the day there stood still.
Yeah.
And it got a little more than half of that.
If it would have made 50 million, I would have wept for the souls of the moviegoers of America. Because that movie was just complete and utter terribleness.
you did rail against it.
It was, I hate this. I hate people who liked it. There, yeah, well, I said it.
There you go. And Dawn probably liked it, so now you dug that grave. But it came in with 30 million. It was originally estimated to be over 31 million, but it really was like 30 million. Then you have Four Christmases, Twilight. It's just a list of the other movies that had already been out. And then like at number 7 was Nothing Like the Holidays. And way down at number 18 was this little film. And when I say little, I mean that literally. This little film called Delgo. They didn't screen. But this is the numbers of it. It's actually, I think it's like on the record books as being one of the lowest performing CG movies ever.
Yeah.
In opening weekend. The estimates came in with an embarrassing 916,000 for the weekend. And when the actuals finally came in, like I said, Day the Earth Stood Still was off by like a million.
Right.
Delgo was almost off by a million as well. Because it only made $511,000 on the entire weekend nationwide. Mm-hmm. And it was in like 2,000 plus theaters. You break that down, the PSA, meaning the per screen average, mm-hmm. $237. Each house that it played in, that screen only made $237 the entire weekend. Daily PSA was less than $80 mm-hmm. per screen. Now, the reason I broke it down so much is because I actually, since they didn't screen it, I took my kids to see this on Friday. Yeah. We paid $16 to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told by a friend of mine who manages a theater that no one actually saw it at her theater all day on Friday. The theater I went to was like the third showing of the day, and we were the first people to actually walk in the door to see that movie. We spent $16. That's 7% of the per screen average for that theater.
Yeah.
And 20% of the daily per screen average. I have never had that much significant impact on the box office in my life ever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how poorly it did. I contributed to like 20% of that movie's take for my theater.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
Yeah. Very nobody good. Saw that movie.
You're very influential to that movie's box office.
I contributed a greater percentage of that box office than you did to The Dark Knight.
Well, yeah. And I think I saw The Dark Knight, six, seven times?
I think you saw it 86 times its opening day.
Right, right.
You went back in time and saw it a couple times.
Because I'm a jumper.
That's right. Ooh.
Okay. How cool would that be? Anyways, predictions for this weekend. Let's just real quick, who's going to win?
Oh gosh, you know what? Hazard a guess, I don't think Will Smith's going to win. I think Yes Man's going to win. Smith will come in next, but 7 Pounds is in fewer screens, and really, he may get a good business on Friday, but I think it's just going to go down. People want to see the comedy.
Yeah, I think Yes Man. It's probably a good choice.
Yeah,
probably.
So you're agreeing with me once again.
Unfortunately. And we're back, and we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys and the Movies. It is time, as always, to do the DVD roundup. Nice.
Are you impressed with that?
I am. Mildly impressed. And since I'm so impressed, why don't you go first?
You have no transition for that, do you?
No.
As much as I would have loved to put the Cheetah Girls One World on this, simply because I'm a whore for Disney, I would have to say that my pick of the week is The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, which it's not a great movie, but I mean, it's not as good as the first two, but it's still a fun, goofy movie. But best of all, it has ninja football yetis in it.
Yes, and I'm waiting for the spinoff. Obviously.
You know what's funny is I've been doing a couple radio interviews, doing DVD picks, and I throw out the ninja football yetis. The hosts have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm like, seriously, watch the movie. You'll see ninja football yetis. And that's what makes the movie great.
Yeah. Okay. I'll kind of go with you on that one.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that movie was kind of bad. But
okay, whatever.
Anywho, let's
get on with your girly picks, please.
And I would like to preface this by saying that Kevin is the one who writes the notes for this, mm-hmm. and I will read it verbatim. Mamma Mia, because he's gay.
That would be you.
He being me, and gay being my sexual preference.
Thank you for explaining that, because I don't think I don't think people understood what I was trying to say.
I think it needed explanation.
Okay.
But anyways, I'm going to keep that pick, because Mamma Mia is actually not a bad film. In fact, there are a lot of people who love this movie. So if you've got like a lady who's up there in years,
would you say middle-aged for this lady?
I don't know how to say that. if you have like a mom or an aunt or somebody you have to buy for, like musicals, yeah. Mamma Mia, great choice. Meryl Streep gives a heck of a performance.
Did you get
Golden Globe nomination?
Did you get the DVD or the Blu-ray for this?
I did. I got the DVD.
The one thing that I saw in here that was... Which
sing-along
the sing along it has a sing along version to it, which it puts all the it's more than just hitting subtitles. It does almost a bouncing ball kind of character. You can literally do karaoke with this movie.
Yeah,
so you can turn down the sound and sound better than both Pierce Brosnan and Meryl Streep put together.
Well, I tell you what, there are a lot of people who really get into Mamma Mia, the whole the whole canon, I guess.
Crazy people.
So,
well, you know, I'm going to throw this out there. It was a good movie. It's an okay DVD. The special features are really self-congratulatory. I mean, there's a lot of special features where they're like, oh, and Meryl Streep is so awesome. And then, oh, we had this person and they're great. And then, oh my gosh, the challenger, they just totally met it. You know, so it is a bit of a love fest. But my wife is a huge fan of Mamma Mia, the play.
Yeah,
she didn't like Meryl Streep in the movie. She actually said that that kind of ruins it. And I was watching it again, and she was just like cringing every time Meryl Streep came in. So just to let you know, there aren't people. Not everybody loves Meryl Streep.
Yeah,
me included, and my wife. We're gonna start the I Hate Meryl Streep anti fan club.
Oh, I don't think so. I like Meryl Streep.
You're probably right. We won't start that.
Anyways, my other pick is The House Bunny because I watched this again on Blu-ray. And it's absolutely hysterical.
And this balances out the gay part, doesn't it?
Totally, because Anna Faris is half naked through the whole thing.
Which is awesome.
Which is, good.
Anna Faris in hot pants. Didn't that get... That was my review on Film School Rejects, and it got national attention.
It did. It was like on the front page of Dig and stuff like that. So, you know, The House Bunny, lots of fun. Really just for Anna Faris and Emma Stone. They're like I said before, two great comedic ladies.
You have to suffer through through Rumor Willis, right?
Who actually, oddly enough, they pull off the impossible by making Rumor Willis look hot toward the end of that movie.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think was possible.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean she unfortunately she got the looks of her dad and the sex of her mom. Because
unfortunate.
Bruce Willis is a good-looking guy. His mom.
He wouldn't look good as a woman.
He does not look good as a woman. It's like there's a. I'm gonna, since I know this person, I'm not gonna say who it is. But there is a male comedian out there who has a daughter with this woman that I know, and you know this comedian. He's not a bad looking guy. She's a gorgeous woman. Which you said, and if you knew who the guy was, you'd be like, how do you get her?
Right.
Their daughter. Looks like her dad, and
it's a very vague story you're telling.
But it's such a shame because it's when a girl gets the looks of her dad, and her mom's totally hot.
Right. Okay.
It's a shame thing that happens now and then. That happened to you.
It makes you sad on many levels.
Yeah, you don't make a good looking woman either.
I probably wouldn't. I barely make a good looking guy.
I would barely isn't the word.
Nice. What's the stinker of the week?
It is In the Name of the King, A Dungeon-Siege Tale on Blu-ray. Because if you didn't think Uwe Boll sucked enough on standard DVD, you can watch him suck in high definition.
Right. Indeed. Nice. All right. Time to wrap up our reviews. First up is A Tale of Despero, which you saw and said...
It sucked. Or kind of sucked. I'm going to give it a kind of sucked.
7 Pounds, which we both saw.
Totally sucked.
I said it sucked.
Totally sucked.
And and then Yes Man, which I saw and I said kind of rocks for the Jim Carrey crowd.
Yes.
The Wrestler, starring Mickey Rourke.
Which rocked.
Totally rocks. Okay. And then The Reader, which you got to review and... Totally rocks. Nice. Next week is our big Christmas episode.
And we will be on.
We will be on early next week. If you listen to us online, the show will be available on Christmas Day, which is, Thursday?
Thursday. Or maybe even Christmas Eve. It depends.
Maybe even Christmas Eve. Keep an eye out. Keep checking back. FatGuysTheMovies.com. We're gonna do Christmas movies. We're also gonna review Valkyrie, Bedtime Stories, The Spirit, Benjamin Button, Revolutionary Road, and Marley and Me, and we may cry at the end. Yes. So You never know. That's right. But in the meantime, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysmovies.com, you can get all of our relevant information. Can you take out the because that's gay?
No, I'm totally leaving that.
God damn it.